Welcome, and thank you for standing by. All lines have been placed in a listen-only mode for today's presentation. The call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I will now introduce your conference host, Ms. Sarah Lohman. You may begin.
Thank you, Catherine. As Catherine just mentioned, my name is Sarah Lohman, and I'm a Community Relations Officer with the USCIS Public Engagement Division. I would like to formally welcome all of you to today's listening session. I am joined here today by Professor Cass Sunstein and Gary Merson from the Department of Homeland Security, representatives from the Department of Labor, Charles Lockie Nimick, and others from the USCIS Office of Policy and Strategy, also my colleague Carlos Munoz Acevedo, who will be assisting in facilitating the session. In a few moments, I will turn the call over to the operator to open up the call lines so that we can hear from you. But before I do, I'd like to provide some quick administrative reminders. First, I would like to let all participants know that this is a public meeting, but it is not for press purposes. For any media inquiries or on-the-record statements, please contact our press office at media@uscis.dhs.gov. Any staff from congressional offices who are joining us today, if you have any follow-up questions or any briefing requests, please contact the USCIS legislative team. As Catherine mentioned, this call is being recorded. As you are aware, the purpose of this session is to solicit feedback on Section 105 of the Consolidated Appropriations Act of 2021, which again authorizes the Department of Homeland Security, in consultation with the Department of Labor, to increase the number of H-2B visas available for U.S. employers. If you wish to provide written comments, in addition to voicing your views during this session, you may also do so by sending an email to the public engagement mailbox at public.engagement@uscis.dhs.gov. We will not be taking any questions during this call. We want to hear from you. DHS will take under consideration the information collected from this listening session and any written feedback received regarding the need for supplemental H-2B visas, if any, as Congress has authorized for this calendar year. This information, of course, will not bind nor limit DHS to any future actions. We certainly want to hear from you and encourage you to share your suggestions in the format that you are most comfortable with, to ensure as many as possible have the opportunity to share their thoughts. We ask that you limit your comments. In some instances, I may need to interrupt so that we can give everyone the opportunity to speak. Now, I would like to invite Professor Cass Sunstein to provide some opening remarks. Professor Sunstein is a senior counselor to the Secretary and Regulatory Policy Officer at DHS. He oversees and coordinates all rulemaking and regulatory action by the department, which includes not only immigration and USCIS, but also actions by the Coast Guard, FEMA, CISA, TSA, ICE, CBP, and other components. His initial work has involved implementing the STOPS Act, withdrawing the proposed affidavit of support rule, and overseeing the strategy that culminated in rescission of the public charge rules. He is the founder and director of the Program on Behavioral Economics at Harvard. He has received numerous appointments and awards for his accomplishments and contributions in his field, and is a prolific author. From 2009 to 2012, he was administrator of the White House Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs, and after that, he served on the President's Review Board on Intelligence and Communications Technologies and on the Pentagon's Defense Innovation Board. Professor Sunstein has testified before congressional committees on many subjects, and he has advised officials at the United Nations, the European Commission, the World Bank, and many nations on issues of law and public policy. So without further ado, Professor.
Thank you so much, Sarah. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here. This is a listening session, and I'm here above all to listen. In preparation for the session, I stared at Executive Order 13563, recently reaffirmed by the President, which prioritizes public participation and emphasizes the immense importance of getting public input into rulemaking before rules are proposed. And this is an instance of prioritizing public participation in a country that's dedicated to self-government. I might add that before listening, we have at the Department of Homeland Security, with the guidance of the President and Secretary, three general priorities, every one of which bears on our topic today. The first, of course, is to follow the law as enacted by Congress. Article 1 of the Constitution vests legislative authority in Congress, and Article 2 charges the President and everyone who is privileged to work for him with the responsibility of taking care that the law be faithfully executed. That is an awesome responsibility, awesome in the ancient sense of that word, as well as in the sense of post-1990 slang. Both meanings of the word awesome fit our discussion today. The second priority, very closely connected with, I hope, what we'll hear, is to engage in evidence-based policymaking. As the Administrative Procedure Act specifically mandates, and as the President mandated in his memorandum of January 27, 2021. As that memorandum states, scientific findings should never be distorted or influenced by political considerations. That direction applies to findings of many different kinds, including findings about economics, about the likely impact of policy judgments of one or another kind. The emphasis on evidence-based policymaking is certainly relevant to our topic today, and I hope we will hear a lot about relevant evidence. The third priority is to follow through on and to make both real and good the President's defining commitments, whether they involve economic relief, equity and inclusion, COVID-19, or climate change. Some of those commitments are squarely relevant to the discussion today, certainly economic relief and inclusion. These commitments have been orienting the work of the Department of Homeland Security in many domains, whether they have involved the Office of the Secretary, USCIS, FEMA, the Coast Guard, or the Office for Civil Rights and Civil Liberties. I very much look forward to listening. Over to you, Sarah.
Thank you very much, Professor Sunstein. I would now like to turn the call back over to Catherine, who will open the lines and provide the instructions should you wish to share feedback. As a reminder, we want to hear from you as to the impact that the increase in the number of H-2B visas will have on U.S. employers. Specifically, what are the current needs of U.S. employers in light of the COVID-19 public health emergency? What are some possible worker protection options? Finally, what will be the effect that any potential increase in the number of H-2B workers may have on U.S. workers? Catherine, please open up the line.
We will now begin our formal question and answer session. If you would like to ask your question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Remember to unmute your phone and only record your first and last name. To withdraw your question, you may press star 2. So once again, to ask your question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. And one moment for the first question. The first question is coming from Doug Dean. Your line is open.
Good afternoon, and thank you for the opportunity to share our perspective and concerns about the H-2B issue. Grand Hotel is about to enter its 135th season of operation. We are a seasonal hotel in the Upper Peninsula of Northern Michigan that historically is open from May through October. And while that is the best time to come to Northern Michigan, it makes it very difficult to find domestic workers to spend time with us. Grand Hotel has been a part of the H-2B program for decades and has been approved for only two of 13 categories requested this year. These two categories will provide only 14 of the approximately 350 H-2B workers for which our hotel applied. The consequences of not gaining access to these workers will be operationally and financially devastating. The hotel will be forced to close restaurants and retail shops, limit recreational activities, and limit the number of sleeping rooms sold. These outcomes, most importantly, will jeopardize the livelihoods of the 425 year-round and seasonal American workers that Grand Hotel employs, who rely on Grand Hotel for their income. So my question is, how soon might we be able to hear the decision so that we can plan for our business and operation, especially during this summer where we know that the COVID pandemic has created incredible pent-up demand for leisure travel?
Thank you very much for your question, Mr. Dean. Our folks, Lockie, by chance, at USCIS, do we have an answer for that right now?
Sarah, no, we do not. But thank you for the information and looking forward to hearing more.
Thank you very much. Operator, next.
And the next question is coming from Daniel McLair. Your line is open.
Good afternoon. This is Danielle LeClaire, and I work with the Laborers International Union of North America, LIUNA. We're a labor union that represents over 500,000 workers throughout North America, primarily in the construction and landscape industries. From our perspective, with unemployment being so high in both construction and landscape right now because of the COVID pandemic, our union believes there is absolutely no justification for an increase in the cap. Our unions have hiring halls, which is somewhat unique, and if any construction or landscape employer feels they cannot find a worker in the U.S., which we would find pretty, frankly, laughable with the economic conditions, they can always call our hiring halls, which are available on our website publicly. In terms of worker protections, I'm glad that's being asked about. The prevailing wages have to be sufficient. Private wage surveys have to be eliminated. And frankly, in our industries, there's a number of employers in construction and landscape who have significant legal violations, wage and hour, human trafficking, OSHA violations, and yet they're still getting hundreds or even thousands of visas every year. They should all be debarred. They shouldn't be allowed to participate in the program. And frankly, if they were all kicked out, you may not need to raise the cap at all to fulfill needs of any legitimate employers. President Biden has called for Build Back Better. We have at our union right now, workers sitting on the bench that aren't working, that are ready to work. And instead of bringing in foreign workers that are often exploited, we would encourage employers to instead go through our hiring halls and hire our workers who are already here and ready and willing and trained and experienced through our apprenticeship programs ready to work. So my question is, what is the Biden administration going to do through USCIS to stop giving visas to employers who violate the law? Thank you.
Danielle, thank you very much for your feedback. Next.
And the next comment is coming from Susie Freeman. Your line is open.
Thank you very much. My name is Susie Friedman, and I'm Vice President for Policy at the National Alliance of Forest Owners, a national organization committed to advancing federal policies that ensure our working forests provide clean air, clean water, wildlife habitat, and jobs through sustainable practices and strong markets. Nearly all replanting work in the U.S. is done by H-2B workers. H-2B forestry workers plant 1.5 billion tree seedlings on 2.2 million acres of forest land in the U.S. each year. And the replanting work done by H-2B workers provides the foundation for long-term climate, wildlife, and water quality benefits provided by forests. U.S. jobs depend on the work done by these guest workers. Each HTB worker supports 4.5 American jobs, and privately owned working force support 2.5 million American jobs, mostly in rural communities. And Americans are just not applying for these forestry jobs. For the 6,350 jobs advertised in FY 2020, only 123 Americans applied, which is only 1.9% of the labor needs of the sector. And the demands for HTB forestry workers continue to grow. The forestry sector estimates that we are currently 4.5 years behind on replanting due to the ban, the impacts of the pandemic, as well as the impacts of last year's wildfire season. As such, we urge DHS to release all authorized additional HTB visas for the second half of fiscal year 2021, as provided in the Omnibus COVID Relief and Response Act. Thank you.
Thank you. Just a gentle reminder to everyone that this call today is a listening session. We will not be responding to any questions. Please feel free to send us an email at the public engagement mailbox. Operator, next.
And the next comment is coming from Judith Ogden. Your line is open.
Good afternoon, and thank you for offering this listening session. I am a landscape business owner on Long Island, New York. I got engaged in this H-2B program 20 years ago because it was a way to hire legally documented workers for my seasonal business. I am very frustrated when I hear labor unions say that there is an option to work with them, because I don't have that option here. I have advertised and put signs up on trucks and put signs out at my business and put signs up in papers and put signs up on computers, and I use every avenue I can think of to get workers, and I have had zero response this year. For 3 years, this is now my third year, I haven't had my workers come in when I need them, and I cannot find American workers who will fill these jobs. They are not there and they're not available. For me, this has been devastating to my company, and it affects many businesses, not just mine, because of all the people that I buy supplies and materials from, not to mention that the people that I do work for. So this has cost me dearly. I have lost over $500,000 in sales because I can't commit, because I don't know when the workers are going to come here and if I will get them this year. I desperately need the workers. It's very important for the small business owner. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for sharing your concerns. Operator.
The next comment is coming from John McMahon. As a reminder, please also state your organization.
Good afternoon, and thank you for this opportunity of voicing our concerns. I represent the Associated Landscape Contractors of Colorado. Our organization represents over 400 companies in the green industry, which employs 40,000 people within Colorado, and about a $2 billion impact on the Colorado economy. Colorado is actually the largest per capita user of H2B. Because of our seasonality, it's imperative for us to have these programs. It's almost impossible to have people fill this when they're looking for permanent positions. And as you can imagine, it's not only just in landscape in the summer, it also impacts us in the ski industry, another industry I was an executive for. Workforce is our number one issue. It's a bigger issue than we have currently, even with drought. That's very widespread in Colorado at this moment. We are very proactive in several workforce initiatives, developing pathway programs with high school and community colleges. We're very involved with all the different community outreach that provides workforce in Colorado. And with all that said, we are significantly in need of additional H2B workers here to make our economy have a quicker recovery. As it was already stated, for each H2B worker, there are a significant number of American jobs that are also attached to it, 4.6 workers on average, American jobs that will be attached to it. I do find it somewhat laughable when I do hear some of the comments made that there are some additional workforce available to us, and Colorado is so incredibly involved in trying to develop that workforce, and yet we cannot find people to fill those positions. So I would encourage the release of those discretionary visas as quick as possible. any delay makes it more difficult for us to be able to fill those positions as we are in the heat of developing those landscapes and installations as we speak. Thank you very much.
We appreciate your feedback. Catherine?
The next comment is coming from Andrew Gray, and please state your affiliation.
Good afternoon, and thank you for your time and opportunity to speak. My name is Andrew Bray, and I work for the National Association of Landscape Professionals. And today I'm speaking on behalf of the entire landscape industry, the largest user of the H-2B program by a significant margin. The landscape industry is a $98 billion industry nationwide, employing over 1.4 million U.S. employees. The landscape industry continues to be in the midst of a workforce crisis, both before the COVID-19 pandemic and now afterwards. The landscape industry has seasonal labor needs that cannot be filled with U.S. workers alone, and I vehemently disagree with any comments to the contrary. This is precisely why the H-2B program was created, to supplement industries like the landscape industry that have specific seasonal labor needs. Unfortunately, the 66,000 cap is not representative of actual demand for the program. Last year, the Department of Labor certified there was a bona fide need for approximately 160,000 H-2B guest workers. These visas would not adversely impact U.S. workers. The reality is the H-2B visas help large landscape companies grow. Each H-2B visa supports 4.6 U.S. jobs and allows landscape companies to hire additional sales staff, marketing staff, administrative staff, and other various positions a growing, thriving business requires. NALP worked hard with Congress to have language enacted in the FY21 DHS appropriations that would provide DHS the authority to release additional H-2B visas if a bona fide need has been demonstrated. Clearly, that has already been demonstrated from the nearly 100,000 labor certificates that are being processed by DOL for only 33,000 H-2B visas. Springtime is here. The demand for workers is here. As the Biden administration moves forward with policy initiatives to boost our economy and help businesses grow, please don't leave seasonal businesses like the landscape industry behind. Please don't dismiss our seasonal labor needs, and please release the maximum number of H-2B visas afforded under the law as soon as possible. Every day of delay is adversely impacting the landscape industry. Thank you for your time. NELP stands ready to be a resource to DHS to answer any further questions in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gray. Catherine?
The next comment is coming from Dick Raisler. Please state your organization.
Hi, my name is Dick Raisler, and I'm with Gray Havens Inn in Georgetown, Maine. And I'm calling in to also back the other people talking about the fact that there are not enough visas. Gray Havens Inn has been around for many, many years. It was built in 1904, and we have owned it for 11 years. And in that 11 years, we have sought out extra workers every single year for the very fact that every single year we advertise locally in several newspapers to try to get local help, and we never, ever, ever get anybody to apply. So we have no choice but to go to the H-2B visa program, which we have done. And it's been helpful to us, except for the last several years, they've now gone to a lottery system, which we're not gamblers, and unfortunately we came up into the last group every single year and don't get our workers. So we're behind the eight ball once again this year. Another thing I think we should consider about these H-2B workers, not only do they do the jobs that Americans don't want to do, but they also pay into Social Security, and they never get to see any of those benefits. So I think it's imperative that we really rethink the program, get away from the lottery program, make people that have been here in previous years eligible automatically so that the state of Maine, the great state of Maine, can get the workers that they need. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Operator, next comment.
The next comment is coming from Birch Glenn Robertson. Please state your affiliation.
Yes, I am the owner of Grand Country in Branson, Missouri, and I've been working with the H-2B program for several years, and I have the same problem of recent of going to the lottery. For this year, we will have zero housekeepers coming to work with us for our 319 rooms, zero laundry workers coming, for our laundry and zero workers for our front desk attendant position. Only the food and maintenance has been approved for this year. We are a strong seasonal destination resort, and we depend heavily on the H-2B workers to come and help us provide the services to our guests that truly exceeds their expectation. Please do whatever you can to release the rest of the workers for this year so we can get our housekeepers and other workers here. Thank you very much.
Thank you for that feedback. Operator?
The next comment is coming from Ferris McHugh. Please state your organization.
Good afternoon, and thank you, everyone. My name is Ferris Mikey from Austin, Texas, Grassworks Lawn Care. I'm going to keep this threefold and really simple. One, the labor union's comment, I would invite that to be not only laughable but insulting to all the hard-working business owners that are recruiting through every avenue, whether it's through the state agency, newspapers, Indeed. I'll go one up and find it really insulting that we're actually trying to hire and buy American workers. Number two, the simple fact, in a positive light, the H-2B program has been really inviting to both parties, the employer and the employee. It's been a really good working relationship, one for the economy. Growth in our local vendors have been suffering because we haven't purchased any equipment through our local vendors, whether it's lawn mowing equipment, landscape equipment, and our trailers. The circulation of revenue has been obsolete. The second part of that is the workforce. We have not been able to hire ready and willing Americans to perform landscape services such as install and maintenance. The third part of that is, in a positive light of trying to get the release of H-2B visas, I agree with every small business owner. It's just an unfortunate event that we're actually being told that we're in compliant. We're not OSHA certified. We are not paying our workers good wages when we offer wages well over $20 an hour that are well within the federal FSLA guidelines. It's actually a complete myth, and I would like to educate the other side and invite them to show USCIS and Department of Labor of how compliant and how strong the middle class and the small businesses are. That's all I have. Thank you for your time.
Appreciate your statement. Operator?
The next comment is coming from Shelley Tackleman. Please state your affiliation.
Hi, my name is Shelley Tackleman. I am with Tri-County Sprinklers in San Antonio, Texas. We have been in business for 22 years now, and for the last 5 to 6 years have consecutively found it harder and harder to find labor in this area. We've not received our visas. This will be the second year in a row now. We currently are trying to run 73 projects at the moment with 6 labor employees, U.S. employees. We have reached out. We've done our in-house recruiting. We've used labor staffing companies, newspaper articles, online advertising, magnets on our trucks, social media. Last year, we struggled and we were able to find 8 U.S. workers for our season. We brought them in. 6 quit after the very first day. 1 quit after the first week, and 1 lasted another month. That was it. We couldn't get anybody else. This season, we managed to find 6 applicants that would actually respond to any of our advertising. Out of those, I was able to contact 1. He was scheduled to come in, and he never showed up. No one here wants to dig trenches for a living. They don't want to do it all day. And our company is the largest dedicated irrigation-only company in South Texas. This will have a huge impact on our industry here. It's going to be major. We do tremendous amounts of work for schools, government entities here. I have many, many schools lined up on our board. And if we can't fulfill what we currently have, I'm also going to have to start laying off sales teams because I cannot afford to pay people to sell jobs that we cannot fulfill. It's going to have a big impact on our company to have to lose American workers that have been with us for 5, 6, some of them 15 years, and I'm going to have to lay them off because they can't complete the jobs that they're selling. This season is going to be incredibly harder, as I'm sure the country is aware. Texas was hit with an unprecedented winter storm, and everything here is dead. The landscape is gone. It all has to be replaced everywhere. And we have no one that can even handle the current workload, the normal seasonal workload. And now we have this added on top of us. Entire parks, entire areas of the city that have to be completely re-landscaped, have to have irrigation redone because of the freeze damage. And there's no labor force here. We would love to hire American workers. It would save our company tens of thousands of dollars every year to avoid having to use the H-2B program. So we would definitely love to have American workers. But again, it's very hard to find someone who wants to dig a trench all day, every day. If we can get our foreign laborers to come in and provide the backbone that we need for our company, that would allow us to grow and bring in more American workers that can do sales, that can be administrators, the jobs that these American workers want to have. But without the backbone, there's no place to grow. There's no way that we can expand and offer more American jobs. Thank you.
Thank you, Shelley, for sharing your circumstances with us and for your feedback. Next.
The next comment is coming from Brian Brendel. Please state your affiliation.
Hello, my name is Brian Brendel, and I'm with the American Horse Council. We're based here in Washington, D.C., and represent the $122 billion horse industry in the United States. We are a key pillar of the rural economy that includes racetracks and horse breeding operations, among other business types. We also employed pre-pandemic nearly 1 million Americans. A member of mine, a horse training operation on Long Island, has shared information that typifies the sector's experience as it relates to H-2B and chronic labor shortages. By horse industry standards, this is a relatively large operation, managing a workforce of about 200 during peak racing season. During the past 3 years, the operation has applied for 45 to 50 guest workers under the H-2B program to bridge the gap between available U.S. workers and seasonal demand. Notably, in 2020, demand for H-2B workers did not subside. As stated by an on-site manager, the horses need to be trained to maintain their status as competitive racing athletes, regardless of the broader disruptions caused by COVID-19. Because of the previous administration's response to the pandemic, the operation received none of the 50 H-2B visas for which it applied during the April to November peak season. As a backstop, the company relied on 5 guest workers with extended visas and literally cobbled together the remaining job descriptions. This included doubling down on job assignments and increasing shifts for the available workforce, operating at about a 75% capacity, even during COVID-19. This strategy is not sustainable moving forward, according to our New York colleagues. For 2021, this operation states that it has not yet received any of the 45 to 50 requested visas because of its draw group status. To fulfill its obligations for the remainder of the season in 21, the operation will have to rely on the release of a substantial number of supplemental visas pursuant to the authority granted by the FY21 spending bill. Thank you very much for the opportunity to comment.
Thank you, Brian. Next.
Thank you. And the next question is coming from Kenneth Vaughn. And please state your affiliation.
Yes, my name is Kenneth Vaughn. Excuse me. I'm the owner of a landscape services company, Unique Environments, based in Irving, Texas, a suburb of Dallas. Currently, I have applied for 10 visas, of which none have been approved yet. My situation here is I currently have 25 employees, and as I stated, could use another 10. As someone earlier said, the workload as it stands right now is unprecedented. Because of freeze damage from the cold, we've got just a lot of work to do. We're looking at working probably 60 to 65 hours a week for the foreseeable future. That will be probably a Monday through Saturday. And as the summer gets hotter, it will be more difficult for my current employees to maintain that type of pace. Number one, it's unsafe, and number two, I wouldn't ask them to do something like that. In the past and currently, I have signs in my yard, or not in my yard, but in our at our shop in the lawn area. We have approximately 35,000 cars a day pass by. In the last 6 months, we have had 4 applications. One gentleman we did hire, he lasted 2 weeks. The others came in and filled out applications, offered them a job, and they declined to take it. We also offer bonuses. We offer someone comes and stays for 6 months, we give them $500. If they come and stay for a year, we give them $1,000, and we have a referral bonus that mirrors that with current employees. Bottom line is the Dallas-Fort Worth market is experiencing a boom like I've never seen in my 40 years of being in this business. There's more business than what anyone can do or what most of us can take care of. And again, with the addition of the frost and freeze this last year, it's going to be even, you know, more demanding. Currently, I have about $750,000 in services sold that we've got to try to perform over the next 3 months. And that's additional that we hadn't even planned on because of the freeze damage. So I'm in dire need of labor help. I have the management team in place. I have a gentleman that are now crewmen that could become superintendents. And we would bring those people in, bring on the H-2B visa, bring those in as crewmen for those gentlemen. So it really, doesn't help the people who I currently have employed because number one, they can't move up in my business, they can't improve themselves, and then also the other people that we could bring in would be a great help to us. I'd also ask that this process be expanded as far as the number of visas. We go through this process just about every year, and the demand's there and the need is there, and I'd ask that not only that the current situation, the visas be released, the additional, but in the future that we wouldn't have to go through this. Thank you so much for your time and hope you have a great day. Thank you.
We appreciate your comments. Catherine?
And the next comment is coming from Tara Foreman. Please state your affiliation.
Who are you, dude?
They're making money off y'all use the workers.
And the next comment is coming from Tara Foreman. Your line is open. We'll go ahead and go on to the next comment. That is coming from Mary Talley. Please state your affiliation. Ms. Talley, your line is open. You may make your comment at this time.
Can you hear me? Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, Ms. Talley, your line is open. You may.
Okay, sorry. So my name is Mary Talley. My company name is Talley Amusements. I am based out of Fort Worth, Texas. We've been a user of the HGV program for the last 15 years. We were capped out this year. We have a petition for 120 workers, and our date of need is January 1st. This is the first time in the 15 years that I was not only capped out on the January 1st start date, but also the April 1. So this, we have been shut down due to COVID since March the 9th, and we're trying to get open back up because Texas has now allowed us to do that, but we've had no luck in hiring any Americans. Because of the transient nature of our mobile carnival company, we cannot find very few Americans that want to travel. This is why we started using the H2B program to begin with. We have advertised in the last month in the state workforce agency, Craigslist, our industry papers, our local newspaper in Fort Worth, Facebook, and we've got less than a handful of applicants in all the 15 years. In fact, I cannot stress to all of you how important it is that you get this going for us, because we hold our breath every year hoping that we don't get capped out annually. Our industry is different from all the rest because we operate amusement rides where there is a safety component to keep our customers safe. The cap has not been updated since President H.W. Bush in 1993. The businesses in the USA, though, have increased, and there's been more employers, over the years. So basically, our industry is unique. And just to point out how many small businesses are required to operate their business on a lottery basis. And it is critically important that DHS and Secretary Mayorkas release the visas immediately. We cannot operate our five-generational business without our H-2B employees. We are going to run the risk of losing our contracts to my fellow competitors who mostly use the H2B program because they got lucky enough where they didn't get capped out. So most mobile carnivals using this H2B program are transient, and we go to a new city or state weekly at minimum. So I just cannot tell you.
And one moment for the next comment. The next comment is coming from Chris Lynch of PSPA. Your line is open.
Thank you for talking with us today. My name is Chris Lynch, and I work for the Pacific Seafood Processors Association. Alaska and the Pacific Northwest produce nearly 6 billion pounds, or two-thirds of America's wild, sustainable seafood. Working in the middle of the Alaska seafood supply chain, in one of the most remote food production areas of the world, our members buy billions of pounds of fish every year from thousands of independent U.S. fishermen. Alaska seafood processors employ roughly 16,000 workers annually on a seasonal basis, based on the seasons, based on fish migration. Roughly two-thirds of the seasonal workforce is from the U.S. However, even in a pandemic and with extensive recruiting, not enough U.S. workers will want these jobs. So for the remaining third of the workers, employers must use the temporary seasonal H-2B visa program in order to realize the production potential of our fisheries. Alaska seafood processors meet and exceed all federal requirements, demonstrate unmet hiring needs, and provide travel, food, lodging, and other benefits. For FY21, several Alaska seafood processors have been denied access to the H-2B program due to the lotto. Failure to secure these visas will result in up to $10 million lost to the regional economy this summer. When processors are short-staffed, they must buy fewer fish, leaving fish and fishermen effectively stranded in the water. They produce lower value and lower volume output. With less fish delivery and production, local support economies and local tax bases suffer in these remote communities. DHS has clear authority to act to avoid this outcome. We urge DHS to release the maximum number of visas possible and to ensure that seafood processors, already recognized by DHS as part of essential critical infrastructure, are able to secure the H-2B visa workers needed to operate at capacity. Time is of the essence. In only 2 months, more than 50 million wild sockeye salmon will descend upon the Bristol Bay River system. H-2B workers must be secured then arrive in Alaska, and then complete a two-week COVID quarantine before actually being able to enter the work site. The wild salmon won't wait for this to happen. If processors cannot get their H-2B visa guest workers on site by early June, then critical production capacity opportunity will be lost. Companies have to plan. Please release these additional H-2B visas as soon as possible. And please let us know how we can work with you in support of this healthy, sustainable, and economically vital domestic food source. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your comments. Next.
And the next comment is coming from Ann Saligas of Maine Lobster Dealers Association. Your line is open.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak today. My name is Annie Salikas. I'm the director of the Maine Lobster Dealers Association, and much like our peers in the other industries that have gone before us, including Chris Lynch from the Pacific Seafood Processors Association, we deal with major seasonal constraints for our workforce in the Maine lobster industry. Maine lobster industry is a substantial and critically important industry for our large rural state that is dependent upon natural resource extraction. We have a number of operations in very rural parts of the state of Maine, and try as they might to hire local workforce, they are incapable of doing so. We are also doing a lot of pipeline building with the community college system, with high school programming and bridge programming, and there is still a major shortage for our workforce. We pay people well, but the problem is that we are doing jobs in an industry full of positions that Americans do not want to work in. We are working in cold, often very wet conditions where people are required to stand for extended periods of time, and we continue to struggle with finding an available workforce. 80% of all lobster harvested in the state of Maine is harvested in a period from June until November or December. We have a substantial seasonal workforce that is required to harvest all of these products and get them out of the state of Maine and into the global marketplace. We previously had accessed a number of temporary foreign workers from countries like Romania, Mexico, Guatemala, and Honduras, and in the absence of being able to access this labor force, we have had to get very creative and try and find solutions, but that is just not cutting it for our industry. We desperately need to reclaim this temporary foreign worker program to support our industry, not only for lobster, but for other seafood products and for our blueberry industry and other agricultural products in the state of Maine as well.
We appreciate your feedback. Catherine, next.
The next comment is coming from Daniel Costa, Economic Policy Institute. Your line is open.
Hi there. Thanks so much for letting me make a comment. I'm Daniel Costa, Director of Immigration at the Economic Policy Institute, a think tank in Washington, D.C. I've studied and published reports about the H-2B program for over a decade and have testified in Congress about it. H-2B is a program that is intended to be used for demonstrated labor shortages. You know, when there's shortages, they should be legitimately used. But the economy, which is still recovering from the impacts of the pandemic, however, is showing no signs of labor shortages in H-2B jobs. In fact, the opposite is true. As I wrote very recently, the latest labor market data showed very high unemployment rates in the main H-2B industries, as well as nearly 5 million unemployed workers in just a few of the major occupations for which H-2B jobs are commonly approved for. The latest JOLTS data, which is also updated on our website, shows that there's still many unemployed workers for the number of jobs in terms of, with respect to the number of jobs in H-2B occupations. In accommodation and food services, there are more than 2 unemployed workers for every job opening, nearly 3. In construction, there are more than 3 unemployed workers for every job opening. Part of why this disconnect is occurring between unemployed workers and jobs is because the H-2B program's current rules make it easy for employers to game the system when it comes to recruiting unemployed workers. And the program is flawed, rife with abuse, and in desperate need of reform, as numerous news reports, investigations, and congressional audits have proven over the years, calling into question the credibility of the entire program. I should also note that the large number of labor certifications approved is evidence of employer demand for H-2B workers. That is not the same as evidence for worker need in the labor market. To conclude, the U.S. needs good pathways to allow migrant workers to come and work in the U.S. They make important contributions to the economy and deserve to have rights, be paid fairly, and have a path to permanent residence and citizenship rather than only being able to access a temporary non-immigrant status that leaves them indentured to employers. Instead of expanding the cap during a weak economy, I think President Biden should instead push for major reforms of the HCBA program through DHS and DOL that would ensure domestic recruitment efforts become legitimate and that migrant workers will be treated and paid fairly. Thanks very much for letting me speak.
Thank you, Mr. Costa. Next.
And the next comment is coming from Maureen Guzman, Mundo Verde Landscaping Corporation. Your line is open.
Good afternoon, and thank you for the opportunity to speak. From Mundo Verde Irrigation and Landscaping in San Antonio, Texas, we are in desperate need of our H-2B workers, and I would like to insist that our company does comply with all OSHA, Department of Labor guidelines. Our employees are trained, capable, hard workers. They pay taxes, they pay Social Security, and we definitely need them, especially due to the drastic effects of the recent winter storm here in Texas.
We appreciate your feedback. Next.
The next comment is coming from Tyler Paul, Paul Contracting. Your line is open. Tyler Paul, your line is open.
I'm sorry, is this Tyler?
Yes, your line is open. You may make your call.
Thank you so very much. I'd like to, first off, express my appreciation for this listening session. I'm a small business owner in Colorado, and it's already been referenced a couple of times, our tremendous need for seasonal workers. Started my business about 7 years ago and have used the program now 5 years in a row, and I struggled to find labor. And I take great offense to the items that have been mentioned before regarding our taking care of and taking care of our those that we bring up. We comply with all OSHA guidelines. We take care of our workers. We DOL gives us the our prevailing wage based on the market conditions, and we pay at least that, if not more. All of the temporary workers that we have used and want to continue to use are returning workers who we are trying to encourage to return home and hopefully come again the next season for us. But it's every year we are faced with the same uphill battle of trying to, comply and, follow the guidelines set out by DOL. And all as a small business, we are unable to hire more project managers, superintendents, office staff, support staff. That are here, and as was mentioned before too, we're not purchasing new pieces of equipment based on not knowing whether or not we'll be able to fulfill the contracts that we have, and not wanting to continue to sell more work, even though as many in the nation know, Denver's economy is booming. In light of COVID-19, many home building is going insane, and we pride ourselves in being an essential business that allows that works to provide landscaping and services around taking care of commercial properties that allow people to work from home and take great pride in their home ownership. And without our seasonal labor and seasonal support, we are unable to continue to grow, and we find it very, very difficult to continue to do so. Again, I take offense to the notion that we don't search out and seek American workers to do this. We comply with DOL and have been certified by them for 10 workers this year and fell into the Group D based on the lottery system. And again, I too am not a gambling man at all, and unfortunately find myself in that situation now here, second year in a row, dealing with that. And it is detrimental. You know, I'm a small business owner. I have a family to feed, and I take great pride in serving my employees as they work with me. And you know, we're just trying to do this to make a living. This is not a big giant conglomerate. We're a very small operation, and just trying to make ends meet. And we're finding it very difficult to do so without that seasonal availability of labor for it. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Paul. Next.
And the next comment is coming from Tim O'Hara, Forest Resources Association. Your line is open.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone. And thank you for the opportunity to hear us out on this important issue. I'm Tim O'Hara. I'm with the Forest Resources Association, and we represent the wood supply chain for the forest products industry. We have memberships present in 49 states and 377 congressional districts. We support the comments provided by NAFO, by Susie Friedman, earlier in the conversations. But I also would like to make a point. The forestry workers under the H-2B program who plant trees and do a number of other important forestry work, they were impacted by the COVID pandemic, and they were also, even though they were recognized as a national interest under the presidential proclamation suspending H-2B workers and other visas to the U.S., we estimate through a survey that about 30% of the work they completed, or 30% of the work that they would not be completed during this year's planting season. And as pointed out earlier, there's a backlog of about 3 to 5 years on tree planting efforts. President Biden has made it very clear on his climate change initiatives and the role forestry plays in reversing climate change. And if these acres are not planted, it delays carbon sequestration. We know that younger forests are more efficient in sequestering carbon, and it will delay forest habitat, and it will delay improvements or sustaining water quality, especially in those areas that were burned by massive wildfires. And if you look at the public lands, H2B forestry workers are very critical to planting those properties as well. The Forest Service right now has a 1.2 million acre backlog of tree planting needs. And as Susie Friedman mentioned earlier, 85% of the trees planted in this country each year is completed by H2B forestry workers. And it's becoming more and more difficult to get those workers. We surveyed our members and others who are employers of H2B forestry workers. And from the year, fiscal year 2019 to 2020, the amount of businesses saying that they did not receive all the workers they had requested doubled. It went from 16% to nearly 36%. So we're seeing that it's becoming more difficult to get workers. Tree planting is becoming delayed. And again, it will have an impact on what role and how quickly forests are regenerated and how quickly the forests can start to sequester carbon and then to meet the administration's climate change goals with respect to forestry. The information that I kind of mentioned here will be published in a peer-reviewed journal. It was a survey conducted through the University of Minnesota. The next month, I believe, or 2 months, this will be published in the Journal of Forestry, which is a peer-reviewed journal, and it certainly would like you to add that information and scientific literature review and to your scientific information. So again, workers are needed, not only for the forest product sector and the forest landowners, especially the public lands and the private forest lands. And I encourage the administration, the DHS, Department of Labor, to release additional visas, but also look at a long-term permanent solution for labor under the H-2B visa program into the future. Again, I thank you for the time and really appreciate you taking the time to listen to the many businesses which are struggling right now due to the lack of labor in the marketplace. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. O'Hara. And as a reminder, please, we want to hear from as many folks as possible, and we do have quite a few people in queue. So please limit your comments. Thank you very much. Next.
The next comment is coming from Lori Flanagan, H2B Workforce Coalition. Your line is open.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to make these comments. This is Lori Flanagan. I serve as a co-chair of the H2B Workforce Coalition, which represents seasonal businesses across the country in various industries, including landscape, hospitality, outdoor amusement, seafood processing, forestry, golf, the equine industry, and many others. I urge the Department of Homeland Security to immediately make available all of the nearly 65,000 additional H-2B visas that are authorized under the law for seasonal businesses that needed their workers as of April 1st. The need for these visas is demonstrated by the number of temporary labor certifications issued by the Department of Labor, which shows a bona fide need for these workers. Seasonal businesses use the H-2B workers to supplement their U.S. workforce when American workers are not available. With all of the additional costs and uncertainty about whether or not they will be able to hire H-2B workers under the cap, seasonal businesses would absolutely hire American workers if they were able to. In fact, the program requires that the businesses hire any able and willing American worker before offering a job to a temporary H-2B worker. Releasing all of the additional H-2B visas authorized under the law will contribute to our nation's economic recovery. Every H-2B worker supports 4 to 5 American jobs. Additional H-2B visas will allow companies to grow and create more year-round American jobs, such as managers, foremen, and salespeople. Without the additional visas, the jobs of American workers are actually at risk. Seasonal businesses will not be able to fulfill contracts and will have to scale back their operations. In some cases, they will even have to lay off U.S. workers whose jobs are supported by temporary H-2B workers. On behalf of seasonal businesses across the country, I urge the Department of Homeland Security to immediately make all of the authorized visas available. The spring is here now, and seasonal workers are needed now. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Flanagan. Catherine, next.
The next comment is coming from Annika Myers, Balsam Shops and City of Mackinac Island. Your line is open.
Thank you very much, and thank you for hearing our comments. I'm calling from Mackinac Island, which is one of the premier tourist destinations in the United States, and we have been faced with very significant challenges in the 2020 season because of the insufficient visas and the pandemic. It's very critical to the island that it rebounds economically in 2021. Businesses that need H-2B workers need to know now how to structure their 2021 season. If additional visas are not made available soon, these businesses will be forced to make plans to open late, curtail services and hours, and cancel longstanding reservations, and possibly dismiss the U.S. workers that they have coming for those jobs. I urge the release of these visas as soon as possible into the maximum amount allowed. Thank you.
Appreciate your feedback. Next, operator.
And the next comment is coming from Ryan Gillum, Gillum Lawn Care and Landscaping. Your line is open. Ryan Gillum, your line is open. You may make your comment.
Yes, this is Ryan Gillum, Gillum Lawn Care and Landscaping. We're located in central Ohio, about halfway between Dayton and Columbus. I'm one of the fortunate ones. We got our H-2B workers this year. We've been involved in the H2B program for about 5 or 6 years now. So I can sympathize with the business owners that and companies that have not received their workers. We didn't get ours in 2018. In 2018, we used about every method possible to recruit workers. We used 2 temp agencies. We actually had over 100 different employees work for us. Some would work for a day, some work for a month and or a week or so. But we currently have about 10 full-time year-round American workers, and then we get 19 H-2B workers. We're actually in a situation right now where we are trying to hire 3 more additional workers. We've got ads in our local newspaper. We have employment ads on Indeed, social media, Facebook, Ohio Means Jobs. So, you know, we're exhausting every avenue we can just to hire 3 more workers. Like I say, we were fortunate enough to get our H-2B workers. They arrived here last week, and they're hard at work as I speak. But we would just be absolutely devastated if we were having to hire 19 workers. It would about be virtually impossible. Like I mentioned, in 2018, when we did not get our workers, we, even though we went through the temp agencies and, like I say, had over 100 different people work for us, we, at not one point were we ever fully staffed. And as a matter of fact, the closest we ever got to being fully staffed, we were always at least 10 employees shy. So we had equipment sitting in the yard, equipment that we, you know, is getting, having to be paid for. And then it really affects our American workers as well. We provide health insurance for our American workers. They have really good paying jobs with simple IRAs that we contribute to, and our H-2B workers make that possible for us to do that. So I won't stay on the line anymore, but I would urge you to release the visas as fast as possible. And then I would also urge you to fix the H-2B program so that we don't have to go through this every year. Every year we're on pins and needles, waiting to find out if we're one of the lucky ones to get our workers or not. And there's not a day that goes by that it's not a conversation in our office. What would we do if we don't get our workers? Again, I sympathize with the guys and gals that didn't get their workers, and hopefully we can get a resolution to this quickly. Thank you.
Appreciate your feedback. Catherine, next caller.
One that we were using before.
The next comment is coming from Russell Whitney, Anchorage by the Sea. Your line is open.
Yes, hi. My name is Russell Whitney, and I manage the Anchorage by the Sea in Ogunquit, Maine. Just rated one of the top 7 beaches in the entire country. And we have 241 room property with a full service restaurant, and we've been using the H-2B, relying on the H-2B program now for well over a decade. We have currently around 35 U.S. workers that we employ year-round on a full-time and part-time basis. I need 189 workers to operate the property in the summer season. We already have weeks in July and August that we're pretty much sold out, all 241 rooms, and currently I have to forecast out to October to see how many checkouts we have, because we can no longer clean the stayover rooms. So we've had to inform all of our guests, which we started doing during COVID, that we will continue this year not providing housekeeping service during the course of their stay, and only providing towel service and amenities, and that is simply because I just don't have the staff. I applied for 5 H-2B petitions. I was lucky enough to get the cook's petition, but the 40 housekeepers, I was not. We advertise we're a year-round property, but we're in a seasonal area. The population of Ogunquit is 1,200 people. There's no mass transportation in the area. We're advertising locally, statewide, and nationally. We're on the Department of Labor's seasonal job bank website. We're on the state job bank. We are currently working with the Maine Tourism Association. They have a migrant worker program where they go all over the country and offer these workers we provide transportation from wherever they're coming from. We just recently had a gentleman from Kentucky. We've got a gentleman from Colorado and a young lady from Florida who are taking advantage of that program for the summer season. We pay their transportation. We house them. And out of the whole entire country, we only found 3 American workers that were willing to do that. We're in the newspapers, daily, weekly, Indeed, Facebook, ZipRecruiter, and we advertise on a year-round basis. I myself, as the general manager, I'm busing tables. I'm stripping linens from rooms and making beds just to try to get through on a daily basis. The seasonal worker, and again, I trust it is a seasonal, it's on a seasonal basis, and we need it for the our peak season here in Ogunquit, where we're right on the ocean, and it's a great place to work. Our wages, interestingly enough, I've had people say that the H-2B is for cheap labor. That is far from the case. It's much more expensive to use the H-2B program, but we have no choice. The prevailing wages generally are higher than the minimum wage. The minimum wage in the state of Maine is $12.15 an hour, and most of the H-2B...
Mr. Whitney?
Yes.
Apologies for the interruption. We certainly do appreciate your comments, and we have so many others
that would like
to share their thoughts. No, please, send us an email with your additional comments. Thank you very much, and apologies for the interruption.
No problem.
Operator, next. Thank you.
Thank you. One moment, please. The next comment is coming from Brad Belvin, Belvin Roofing Company. Your line is open.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak today. My name is Brad Belvin, and I'm a third-generation operator of our 75-year-old family roofing business, Belvin Roofing Company in San Antonio, Texas. I'm shocked by the comments of Mr. Casa, if I heard his name correctly, from Washington. He clearly hasn't operated a small business before. There's no other way to say it. We need our returning H-2B workers. Very few Americans want to work on a roof. It's hot, it's difficult, it's dangerous. We offer referral bonuses, retention bonuses. We pay 100% of their health care. We provide 3 weeks of PTO, and I can't get anybody to work. I echo comments also of the landscaper from New York. Our H-2B workers pay taxes. They rent apartments. They buy groceries. They impact our local economy here in San Antonio. The H-2B program is expensive, but frankly, we cannot hire legal workers. At Belden, we e-verify, we drug test, we play by the rules, and yet we have to compete against those who don't. Please allow the returning workers not to be counted against the visa cap. Our returning workers don't get in trouble. They're trained. They pay taxes. They pay Social Security, and they don't even use it. And we just can't hire people. We cannot complete our contracts. Thanks again for listening.
Thank you very much for your feedback. And as a reminder, we are running close to time, and we do have quite a bit of folks. So if you could please limit your comments to about 30 seconds, it would be greatly appreciated. Do not forget, you can always send us an email after the engagement. Thank you. Operator, next.
Thank you. One moment, please. And the next comment is coming from Michael Conley of Law Patrol Service. Your line is open.
Well, thank you for taking my call. Well, I'll make it short. As all of the landscapers have mentioned, we're located in Texas, and we are in the same boat as those individuals. We really need help. Our revenue this year will be down probably 50% if we don't get the needed workers that we need on the H-2B program that we normally get. We've been doing this for about 8 or 10 years in terms of getting people from the program, and each year it gets a little bit tougher. And this year, I thought we made it through COVID-19, but this year is going to be our worst year if we don't get the needed help. We've used billboards, ZipRecruiter, Indeed, ads, Texas Workforce Commission, Craigslist, and nothing works. I've hired 3 people in the last month and a half, and I need at least 30 more people. And as everybody has stated, the folks that are involved with the unions, if they want to call me and say they got people that want to work, but we're paying prevailing wages, in a lot of cases over that, and we cannot find people. And then when we do find people, they last for 1 day, 2 hours, 1 week, and it's a spinning cycle. And we don't have the resources to do that. And at this point, I would take that approach. But the people are not coming in to even fill out applications. So, and the final thing is we need a permanent solution to this problem. I can't grow my business because I don't know if I'm going to have the workers. So we need a permanent long-term solution that's going to allow returning workers to come back in for employers that they've been with. That cap needs to be higher. So anybody is saying that otherwise, I'm a small business. We provide good-paying jobs. And we provide 401K and other things to our domestic workers. but we need help. And if anybody's listening at the national level, we need help now. Otherwise, my business will not last for the next couple of years. I will probably be able to make it this year, but that will probably be it. So thank you so much.
We appreciate the concerns that you raised. Operator, next.
The next comment is coming from Stephen Green, Myrtle Beach Area Hospitality Association. Your line is open.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. We represent the Myrtle Beach Area Hospitality Association in the Myrtle Beach area, South Carolina. We're one of the top vacation destinations in the country. We employ about 82,000 workers and about a $2.2 billion in labor impact each year out of tourism. Obviously, we are one of the worst hit industries in the country and internationally, and we have at least seen a strong impact on returning of vacationers into our area. And what's harming us now is the lack of H-2B workers or workforce that is impacting us at a significant level. Many of our American workers are actually being laid off or their hours are being cut because the businesses are having to shut down. They're not able to open up all of their rooms. It's a significant impact for us and something that we ask that you release these additional H-2Bs as quickly as possible as we move into the summer season. We only have a population of a few hundred thousand, and we do 20 million visitors a year. And obviously, the travel and tourism industry is the largest small business employer in the United States. So we ask for your consideration in releasing those as quickly as possible. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your feedback. Operator, next comment, please.
The next comment is coming from Leslie Count of AFL. Your line is open.
Thank you very much. We would call on the government to use every possible policy lever to address our very real unemployment issues in this country. And we know that we need better strategies to connect U.S.-based workers with available jobs. H-2B visas are meant to be used only when there are no U.S.-based workers, but there are no serious requirements to conduct a nationwide search for employment. And we note that in all but one of the top H-2B occupations, the average hourly wage certified for H-2B workers was lower than the average hourly wage for all such workers nationwide. We also think that employers need to be sure they are providing and offering housing and transportation allowances for U.S.-based workers as they are for H-2B workers, and that sufficient recruitment is conducted in languages other than English. We would also note that before the H-2B visa program was created in 1986, businesses found workers. Now, we know that employment is still very stratified in terms of racial, ethnic, and gender preferences. But surely, with unemployment as high as it is, we think that there should be no H-2B labor certifications in geographic areas with a labor surplus, in other words, where unemployment is 6% or above, or in industries and occupations with a labor surplus, in which the unemployment rate is 6% or above, or when an employer has violated labor and employment laws in the past 5 years, or when an employer has received a Paycheck Protection Program loan that is intended to keep U.S.-based workers on the payroll. We would just note that the unemployment rate in the amusement and recreation sector is, for example, above 17%. We will submit comments, but we would remind everyone that businesses found workers before the H-2B program was created, and they need to do so again. There was a time when young people from the East Coast traveled to Alaska to do the hard work of salmon packing in the summer. They returned with a lot of money and a unique experience. They might not have wanted to do it again, but they told their friends and a new group went the next year. These employment conditions need to be safe and secure so that seasonal work is a viable option for unemployed workers, particularly those who most need a job experience. Thank you very much. We will submit comments.
Thank you very much. Next comment, please.
The next comment is coming from Gary Woodworth. Your line is open. Please state your affiliation.
Thank you, Gary Woodworth, Gagos Masonry. Thank you for taking the time to listen. I would contradict the prior caller. We're a 50-year masonry company doing construction around the state of Colorado. We recruit year-round. We advertise. We have our own DOL in-house apprentice program. Workers do not want to come to the trades like they did in 1986. We taught our kids to go to college and to do other things. They do not want to do the physical labor. I urge you to increase the cap. We provide full benefits to all H-2B workers, including health, dental, vision, paid time off, just like we do our American workers. Lack of H-2B workers causes our American workers to become overworked. We have less success at year-end and therefore cannot share the profits around the company the way that we typically do. This is a problem that's been ongoing with H-2B with an outdated cap that needs to be increased. I would encourage you to do that, relook the returning worker, but find a solution to fulfill the labor that is needed around this country that people just aren't as inclined to do today. Thank you.
We appreciate your feedback. Operator, next comment, please.
The next comment is coming from A.J. Erskine, Bevan's Oyster Company. Your line is open.
Yes, good afternoon. My name is A.J. Erskine. I'm with Bevan's Oyster Company and Cowart Seafood in a rural coastal seafood location. And representing these businesses, we request for April 1 start date about 150 visas collectively between the two businesses. We've been in this H-2B program for a little over two decades, and unfortunately, we continue to have a lack of local labor recruit to these jobs, packing bait fish. This is a dwindling local labor force that we have. We pack perishable product that's subjected to fishing regulations that are set by federal and state regulation for gear size, harvest, seasons. When the resource is there, we must process it. And unfortunately, we don't have our returning workers and seasonal labor. This is a major impact to the business economically and for our rural, economically disadvantaged counties. And I would implore you to please listen to the small seafood businesses around the country that are saying similar type things that we need these seasonal employees. We've been deemed essential infrastructure and critical to the food supply chain, and I hope this administration will look favorably upon the seafood industry and grant these visas. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We are nearing the end of the call today, so we have time for maybe one more comment. Operator?
And that comment is coming from Shane Newman, Yardscapes Landscape Professional. Your line is open.
Hi, my name is Shane Newman. I own a landscaping company, and we're located in New Milford, Connecticut, Yardscapes Landscape Professionals. Just wanted to thank you for taking the time today to listen to all of us on this call. Our landscape company is seasonal, and we've been using the H-2B program for 15 years to supplement our peak labor needs during our busy months of the season. We really need the DHS to please release additional H-2B visas as soon as possible. Spring is here, and this is by far the most labor-intensive time of the year for the landscape industry. H-2B visas support our company and allow us to reliably serve our clients and also grow our business. In particular, our H-2B employees help us keep up with the seasonal peak demands of primarily lawn mowing and landscape maintenance of our residential and commercial clients. We would gladly hire U.S. workers, but we are finding the process to be extremely difficult. Landscaping is a seasonal business that involves physical labor, and many U.S. workers would rather work in other industries. We've advertised on local radio, newspaper, social media, and through relationships with our schools and our community. We also utilize a robust employee referral bonus program. We're trying everything that we can. We've been capped out this year like many others on this call, and without the necessary labor, we won't be able to grow, which is particularly frustrating this year because we have found that due to the pandemic, our clients appreciate their backyards more than ever. It's one of the few places people feel safe and relaxed, and we believe our clients need our services more than ever right now. Without the labor force we need, we'll be letting our clients down and we'll lose significant revenue this year. We'll have to stop accepting new clients and potentially cancel contracts with existing clients. We'll be forced to hold off on hiring new managers. We're on the verge of significantly cutting our advertising spending and we are holding off on equipment purchases. One other additional thing I just wanted to mention is that our H-2B team, our team members that come from on the H-2B program are integral parts of our team. They're like family members to us. All of them have been a part of our team for between 10 and 15 years. They take pride in working as landscape professionals and very much appreciate being a part of our team. So we care about the health and safety of them and their families, so we owe it to them to have a job waiting for them here. So in closing, please release the maximum amount of H-2B visas authorized by Congress in a supplemental H-2B visa allotment. We need the administration to act as quickly as possible so we can support our customers, our employees, and our local economy. Once again, thank you again for taking the time today to listen.
We appreciate your feedback. Unfortunately, we are nearing the end of the call today. But before closing, I would like to welcome back Professor Sunstein for some closing comments. Professor?
This has been an inspiring as well as educational session for those of us who are privileged to work for the American people. And the precision and detail and commitment and trust that has been expressed by those of you who have spoken with the diversity of views is awesome, I think is the word. And just I want to express gratitude to all of you and promise you that in the Department of Homeland Security, every single word that's been said in the last hour and a half will be remembered and we will consider as we focus on what steps to take in the near future. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Professor Sunstein, and thank you to all of you for the information that you provided today. We appreciate your feedback on this very important topic. And as a reminder, for those of you who were unable to provide a comment or would like to provide additional statements, please email us at public.engagement@uscis.dhs.gov. With a final thank you to everyone, please enjoy the remainder of your day.
This will conclude today's conference. All parties may disconnect at this time.